Well, hello everyone, and thank you for joining us for a very special, and yeah, I use that word pretty deliberately, edition here of The Headline. I'm Brandon Walton, the managing editor of Texas Scorecard, joined today by, of course, Jeremy Kitchen, our Capitol correspondent, to talk about, with just a few days left, literally the rest of the legislative session can now be measured in hours, yeah. As you can see behind us. Things are going pretty topsy-turvy now. There's talk about maybe they might be coming back for a special session. We're going to walk through that timeline. But if you're watching live on Facebook right now, you have any questions about what's going on, please feel free to drop some comments down there, and we'll try to get to them throughout the show. But Jeremy, help us understand this. I mean, this week seems to have gone on pretty long. It seems like a long time ago. But just on Tuesday, you had the House reaching one of the last major deadlines that they have, which is their deadline to pass out Senate bills. What happened there? There was a number of conservative bills on the calendar that ultimately, you know, surprise, they didn't get to.
Sure. It inevitably, I feel like it happens every session, right? But there is a... They have deadlines, especially the House self-imposed deadlines, right? It's like herding cats. There's 150 of them.
Sure.
So at the end of the day, you have to have some confines there. But the deadline, as you said, midnight. So the day leading up to that, really the days, but the day where they post stuff on the calendar, right, and say, okay, this universe of 100-something bills is what is on the calendar to get through today. Almost intentionally, seemingly, they put certain bills, right, in certain orders.
Of course.
Or in a certain order of the calendar. But inevitably, what happens is they were supposed to convene at 10 o'clock. They didn't really register until about 10:45, right? And then there was a lunch break in between at some point there.
Long lunch break.
And then it starts to, what starts to happen, at least for Capitol Insight, speak, if you will, is a process called chubbing. Don't ask me the origin of it, right? Mm-hmm. But that's ultimately using parliamentary delay tactics to delay something else on the calendar. Mm-hmm. And what's happened in recent years, just because the party not in power, being the Democrat Party, has gotten seemingly pretty good at kind of the art of chubbing, right? Doing different things, asking inane questions from the front and back
mic. Just spending out the clock, putting on kind of inane amendments and then spending another 10 minutes discussing those. That's how they draw those out. And so, you know, something that could, a bill that could be passed in just a couple minutes normally can take up to, you know, 30 minutes, an hour sometimes to actually make it through. And that's how those bills get delayed.
Correct. And it should be noted, enabled by leadership, right? There's certain parliamentary things that could have been done. People can call to question, right? They can just say, hey, let's just vote on this. We're done with amendments. It takes a certain vote threshold. Certainly from a partisan's perspective, right? There are just enough
majority,
of those folks, right, to make that. But it's kind of seen as, you know, how dare you? We need to have it open dialogue, right? We need to debate these things. And that's what the last day is primarily used for, is to just churn out time, right? Churn out the clock.
So it's pretty much deja vu. I mean, people who have been following this session, especially in the last few weeks, noted that there was a similar deadline for the House to pass their own House bills.
Right.
Just a couple weeks ago, and you saw then that you had some conservative priorities ultimately killed by the clock there. What were the big bills that died on Tuesday night?
So there were three different big bills.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them were bills that were on the calendar from the day before that got postponed. That was the only taxpayer-funded lobbying ban bill that even made it to the House floor.
Mm-hmm.
It was originally when it left the Senate, it was a ban on cities and counties. When it left the House State Affairs Committee, it became they expanded the jurisdictions in which it applied to, but they added a bunch of just notable loopholes, if you will, into the bill. It was also sponsored suddenly by someone who's not a proponent of
the ban. Somebody who has voted against that in the past.
Right. But that was originally supposed to be brought up, and it was postponed like six times, I think, right? And so the verdict was kind of in as to what was going to happen. Similarly, Senate Bill 12, which was the protections for free speech on social media platforms bill, kind of the same death, if you will, to where they postponed it several times. To go back to the taxpayer-funded lobbying thing, I think what's notable about that is the last time it was postponed by Chairman Chris Patty, he kind of had this, he postponed it until September
18th,
which is Mays Middleton, State Representative Mays Middleton, his birthday.
He's a big proponent of the taxpayer funded lobbying.
That's right. So, kind of an interesting.
Kind of a middle finger, poke in the eye.
Poke in the eye to the guy. But by postponing it until then, he effectively killed the bill, right?
Sure.
Because it's after the legislative session. The third bill we talked about is another. Priority of Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, which is the Fair Sports for Women and Girls mm-hmm. bill, right, to require that if you're going to play sports in school, that you do it based on the
sex. Yeah, you can't have boys playing on the girls' team,
right.
You know, competing against girls, not fair, obviously.
Right. And that fell victim to the clock.
So you had those three big bills, and I think looking ahead, right, or looking then when we were looking ahead, it was, well, surely they're not going to kill all three of those. Maybe one of these passes sure. in some sort of watered down version, and that's like not what we saw. Literally, they killed all three of them. When that clock struck midnight, you had Democrats cheering, waving transgender flags,
sure.
Literally cheering this on. You even had Equality Texas, notably, which is a leftist pro LGBTQ AI plus whatever.
Sure.
I don't know all the abbreviations. They keep adding one like every day.
Sure.
But you had that organization out there saying thanking their allies, one of whom presumably was Speaker Dade Phelan, somebody
right.
they had actually positively rated just a couple years ago.
The only other thing I think is important to add there is that no one objected to these postponements, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not a single member got up to object until the end.
Yeah,
you had
members objecting to postponing taxpayer-funded lobbying.
At the very
end. But
right.
there was no record vote on it.
That's right, and that's the important takeaway, is it was a division vote, so you had to physically be in the building
mm-hmm.
to see, when they light up the vote board, to see how your legislator voted on whether or not to postpone the taxpayer-funded
sure.
lobbying bill or not.
Sure. Okay, so let's go ahead and kind of fast forward a little bit here. They adjourn shortly after midnight. We wake up in the morning, right, and expecting, okay, we've got just several days left. It's going to be kind of winding down. And then Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick decides to heat things up.
Right.
He goes out and he goes to Twitter, seemingly out of nowhere, right, something we had not had any real foreshadowing that he was going to do, and said, Governor Abbott, I'm asking you to call a special session.
Right. And notable, it wasn't like a formal letter or anything like that. It was on Twitter, and he did. He asked for a special session. He specifically cited the three bills that we just talked about that died, the SB 10, taxpayer-funded lobbying ban,
yep.
SB 12, the free speech protections on social media, and then SB 29, the fair play for women and girls. Specifically cited those things, requesting from Governor Abbott to call a special in June,
mm-hmm.
right, in June to take care of those.
And not only did you have Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick out there, but you had a number of members of the House, Republican members of the House as well, joining him in that call.
Right. Almost immediately afterwards, that the Texas House Freedom Caucus, comprised of eight Republican members, all signed onto a letter that said, we support the call for a special session.
Mm-hmm.
They went an additional step further to say, not only for the purposes that Lieutenant Governor Patrick called for, but also to address an RPT priority, Republican Party of Texas priority of children, protecting children and gender modification was added to their list. And then, of course, you had a litany of other legislators, too.
Yeah, I want to read through this list just so people, you can listen if you're lawmakers on here. But these were the people who called for a special session. You had the House Freedom Caucus out with a statement that includes Mays Middleton, Matt Schaefer, Briscoe Kane, Matt Krause, Matt Shaheen, Valerie Swanson, Steve Toth, and Cody Vassute. And then as well, In addition, you had State Representatives James White, Brian Slayton, Jeff Kasin, Jeff Leach, Tony Tinderholt, Kyle Biederman, and Scott Sanford saying they would support a special session.
That's right. I think the only other thing I'd note there is that James White, when he came out, he also requested that it be done for property tax
mm-hmm.
Relief. Specifically cited businesses struggling with it. And then you had Brian Slayton, Kyle Biederman, and Tony Tinderholt all asked for all of basically the remaining Republican Party
mm-hmm.
of Texas priorities, even went as far as to say money for a border wall, as well as addressing the border crisis,
mm-hmm.
the ongoing border crisis.
So after Patrick makes that statement Wednesday morning, the Senate gets to work. Patrick and the Senate go till, I think, almost 3 in the morning,
right.
2 or 3 in the morning. Look at this clip. This is Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick talking the night. Everybody's watching to see kind of what he's going to do, if he's going to force a special session somehow. This is what he said about the House's progress on Senate bills.
Not here Friday. The House was not here Saturday. The House has already quit for today. So we're working hard. We're passing bills. They weren't here for 2 days in the last five. They're gone now. They killed key bills of yours last night because they weren't here Friday and Saturday. And all House members and chairmen need to hear that clearly. Clearly, Mr. Chairman, everybody ought to hear that in the House. Not here Friday, not here Saturday, quit already. Major Senate bills killed last night for all the members. But we're continuing to work. We'll stand at ease until 8:15.
The House isn't passing enough Senate bills. We've passed a lot of House bills, a lot of our priorities. You hear that from the Senate. Well, of course, you have the House then responding the next day. This is what they're saying in the other chamber on the other side of the building.
The House sent 1,250 House bills to the Senate.
The chair is not specifically advised, but that sounds about accurate.
Mr. Speaker, parliamentary inquiry.
Please take your inquiry.
Is it also true that 100 of those bills were never even referred?
That sounds accurate.
Mr. Speaker, parliamentary inquiry.
Please take your inquiry.
That of the bills that actually were referred, 450 were never even considered in a Senate committee?
The chair is not advised, but that sounds accurate.
Mr. Speaker, parliamentary inquiry.
Please take your inquiry.
That less than 50% of the House bills that we sent over were passed by the Senate. Are you aware of that?
The chair is not advised.
Okay. Mr. Speaker, parliamentary inquiry.
Please take your inquiry.
By comparison, is it true that the Senate sent 670 Senate bills to the House?
That sounds about right.
Mr. Speaker, parliamentary inquiry.
Please take your inquiry.
That of the Senate bills sent over to the House, 99% of those were referred to committee?
That seems accurate.
Mr. Speaker, parliamentary inquiry.
Please take your inquiry.
Of those bills that were actually referred, 88% of the Senate bills were actually considered in a committee?
That's a lot of work for our Texas House Representatives committees, and I appreciate them doing that work.
Mr. Speaker, parliamentary inquiry.
Please take your inquiry.
Of those bills considered and passed, is it true that we passed 75% of the Senate bills sent over to us?
75% is a lot of Senate bills, and it sounds accurate, Mr. Burrows.
Mr. Speaker, parliamentary inquiry.
Please take your inquiry.
Yesterday, I believe both the House and Senate had local calendars, and there was a lot of kerfuffle over those. My understanding is...
The chair is not advised of a kerfuffle. The parliamentarians will research that.
Isn't it true, Mr. Speaker, that only one bill on our local House calendar was actually knocked off?
That sounds accurate.
Mr. Speaker, parliamentary inquiry.
Let's take your inquiry.
By contrast, the Senate had a local calendar, and they knocked off 100 House bills. Is that true?
The chair is not advised.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Burrows.
Okay, so you saw what both what they're saying in the Senate, you see what they're saying in the House. Jeremy, just real quick, I feel like this happens literally like every session, right? I mean, this kind of back and forth.
This kind of childish jockeying between the chambers, absolutely. This is something, it happens in different ways.
But yeah, you haven't passed enough bills, you haven't passed enough of my bills. I don't think that most people watching really care which chamber the bills come out of, you know.
That's right.
But that's kind of what you're seeing there. Anyways, this is starting to build up. Those clips are from... that clip from the House, rather, was from yesterday. Yesterday, Thursday afternoon, Governor Greg Abbott, okay, he is in Fort Worth. He's at a press conference to talk about the border crisis. But, of course, that's not really the headline. You know, everybody's wanting to know, what does he think about this potential special session call that Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick and a number of House members are calling for? And he kind of said the idea that Patrick was going to ask for a special session was goofy. Literally, goofy was the word.
It was an interesting moment in the press conference, for sure. He said goofy. I think this harkens back to his statement that he put out when it originally kind of came back, where he was kind of, it was weak in my opinion, to the degree that he was trying to make it sound like there was still time, right? That we were still somehow with 3 days left, right? There's still time to quote unquote pass some of these conservative priorities. And
there's literally not, right? Yeah, right. I mean, you look at it, you know, again and again, it's like there's literally not this time, and yet the governor gave a statement, and then he kind of said again, right, during that press conference that, hey, look, we don't, it's not over till it's over, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it's pretty much over if you look at the calendar right now. But that's what he said. But Governor Greg Abbott said that's pretty goofy because everybody knows there's only one person with the authority to call a special session, and that's the governor. Which is true, right? Sure. But of course, the lieutenant governor has ways that he could, had he chose to do so or chooses to do so, kind of force the issue as well.
Right. He could have. There's certain bills that are maybe deemed by certain people as more important than others. Mm-hmm. And to Dan Patrick's credit, he did have some of those bills in his chamber the night before their, you know, their deadline, if you will, I guess yesterday or whenever it was. And one of those included things like the sunset safety net bill, right? The actual budget, right, at the time was there. The supplemental budget was there. There's parliamentary tricks they can do to where it kind of creates this crisis, maybe that's not the right word, but creates an issue where it's like, in order to address these things, we might have to call a special session.
And so you had Lieutenant Governor Patrick saying, in response, he was asked about it by Fox 4. He said, it's not goofy to ask the governor for a special session. I love that we're using the term goofy now. It's kind of the word of the day. It's not goofy to ask the governor for a special session. And he said this week, well, the two teams, they can get together for the last few days. Well, the rules say on Tuesday in the House, those bills were dead. They can't be revived. So the only way we can pass them is to request a special session, which... you know, Michael pointed out in his Texas Minute email this morning, does Governor Abbott not know the rules? Surely he does. He is a former Texas Attorney General. Surely he knows that there's not actually this time left.
Right. I think the only conclusion we can come to is that he's just banking on the fact that the majority of people who don't watch the legislature every day, day in and day out, don't know that.
That may be exactly right. So after saying that, though, Governor Abbott did humor the idea of, okay, if I did call a special session, you know, it would look different, right? He says it will be one item placed on the agenda. Not until they pass that item would we move on to another item, kind of one item at a time. Which is interesting because, you know, Governor Abbott has been in office, has been, you know, in the governor's office since 2015. And since then, he's called one special session. That was in 2017. And he put on the call 20 items, right? And they came back for 30 days. That's the length that a special session can be to work on those 20 items. And then really only a few of them got passed. I mean, less than half or a third of them were really even meaningfully addressed during the session. It was not really a big success.
Absolutely. I mean, they definitely didn't get to all 20. I think it's notable, too, that back then, the 20 items, not all of those 20 items were emergency items during the regular session that preceded that special session. It was a basically worthless special session in that, and I assume that's why he would come out with the statement he did, is to say, okay, we're gonna, if I do it, we'll change it to where it's like I get to dictate, right, what gets done.
Right, and so this would be a little bit of a shift in that, where he's saying, you know, you're not going to sit there. This isn't, I think he said, like, I'm not going to open up some debating society. Right. Like, they're either going to go and they're going to pass this stuff. The important thing to look at that and say, though, is that what you have the governor essentially admitting here is that, you know, the things I put on a special session call are things I want to pass. If he doesn't put something on special session, call, I mean, is the inverse true of this? These are things that he doesn't really consider priorities to pass, or if he doesn't call a special session at all.
I think that's definitely a conclusion you can draw. I think it's also important to realize that politically, most of the time, right, special sessions are called for political reasons, right? They're called for, you know, and the timing in which they're called for. If they're not called immediately after a special session, maybe they're trying to communicate something that, you know, it's only important in this time frame before a re-election or something, right? I mean, I think there's some political motivations for a lot of these things, not just for Governor Abbott. I think going back to forever, at least the last few decades, is that it's purely political. When they make those decisions.
I think you're right. You know, Mary, watching right now, says, the legislature has had 6 months to pass bills, What assurance is there that they might take some of these bills not passed and do something for helping them get elected? A lot there, but it's assurance. You're going to have to contact us, especially if they're not on that list that we just read out earlier. And by the way, a great place to find out how to contact those lawmakers is at our directory at texasscorecard.com. Right there in the upper right-hand corner, you can scroll down. There's a tools section, and you can check out our directory right there, figure out how to get a hold of your lawmaker. The other question, though, she asks is about the election bill. And I guess right now, the big omnibus election integrity bill, that Senate Bill 7, seems to, from all accounts, maybe the conference committee has worked something out, and we might be seeing what the contents of that are soon. Some are speculating it might come out this afternoon.
Right. I've heard all sorts of theories about it. I mean, I think the brass tacks truth is we won't know until it happens. The conference committee report itself will get posted publicly, and then we'll know from there whether they concur. It was a Senate bill, so whether it's concurred with or not, and kind of go from there. Keep in mind that out of the five members in the House, five members in the Senate that were appointed to a conference committee, only a majority has to be in favor of it, right? So only three of those five has to be supportive of it, right? And then they can have minority reports for the folks that aren't. It'll be interesting to see. They have until, I believe, Sunday to adopt conference committee reports.
Right. So. John notes down in the comments, King Quarantine Abbott's list is not the delegate voted list of priorities, referring to the Republican Party of Texas priorities. That's true. Governor Abbott's list of priorities is largely not. The only one that was overlapped there was election integrity, which we just talked about. Steve asks, imagine how much could be accomplished if Abbott led like DeSantis. That's something I'm hearing from a lot of people. Going back to the social media bill that was killed in the House that we talked about earlier, I think it was interesting to see a lot of people are speculating that Governor Abbott and Governor DeSantis of Florida, Ron DeSantis, are both potentially eyeing a run for the presidency in 2024. And so a lot of the actions you see might be, from Abbott, kind of following or trying to best DeSantis. So it's interesting to me that, you had Governor Ron DeSantis a week or two ago, I can't really keep the timeline straight, signing into law these protections, these going after social media companies for censoring folks. You would think that Governor Abbott would kind of want to make that a priority so he doesn't get outflanked.
Sure. It notably was not one of his official emergency priorities. He did travel to Darren Tyler, I guess, with the Senate author,
Brian Hughes.
Brian Hughes. They had a press conference about it, everything, made a kind of a big hay about it, and mum's the word as far as now it not being there. I don't believe Abbott said anything at all in response to that. So, it's kind of weird.
Steve asks if Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, the chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, has weighed in. Yes, he has. He has told Texas Scorecard that the only reason that lawmakers should have to come back is if they go address those missed opportunities, those missed Republican Party of Texas legislative priorities. And again, the clock is ticking here. We've got 3 days. We're going to see what happens. But there's not a lot of time now for lawmakers to act. There's not really a lot that they can do.
I think that's the importance of defining what acting is, right? I mean, they really only in the last 3 days, really two more days, have the ability to act on a specific universe of bills that have already passed, right, the chambers that they're reconciling either in conference committees or waiting to accept amendments from the other chamber. Mm-hmm. They can't necessarily pull dead bills up, and suddenly consider them. I mean,
All right. So we're gonna be following these last couple days. Who knows? This could all change. We could end the broadcast right now, and there could be some huge thing. Sure. Maybe Abbott calls the special session. Maybe he's done it while we're sitting here.
Right.
I don't think so. I think somebody would have texted me or called or something, right? Okay. It's not just the Texas legislature. We've got runoff elections for local races ongoing. So encourage everybody to vote if you've got one of those runoffs happening in your neck of the woods. If you haven't signed up for the Texas Minute email, we'll have that going out on Monday. We have it going out every weekday. If you haven't signed up for it, what are you doing? But that's okay. You can sign up for it. Dan, we'll drop the link in the comments. You go to texasscorecard.com. And Jeremy, this week in Texas, your immensely popular preview of what's going on every day in the legislature is going to be now moving kind of deep breath to a weekly format. Sure. Right now, it's going to be actually this week in Texas again.
That's right. Yeah, barring a special session, we'll be during the interim, we'll be going to a weekly format. So expect those to come out on Mondays as well.
All right. And you'll have a new episode on Monday as well?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Well, I want to thank everybody for watching right now and for being so vigilant. And I know that everybody watching has been so vigilant on keeping on their lawmakers and following this legislative process. You know, it's the only way that conservatives are going to be able to affect change in the state or in the local governments or wherever it is. Want to say hello to Debbie watching from Waco. We got Adam tuning in from Austin. Aaron watching from Allen. Steve tuning in from Colorado. If you have any questions, you're watching this later, please feel free to drop them down in the comments. And we'll try to get to a few of those after the show. But for now, thank you for joining us. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. We'll be back here next Friday. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to The Headline. If you want to stay up to date with the news you need to be an informed citizen, be sure to check out TexasScorecard.com and subscribe to our email list. You can also listen to this show and other shows on whatever podcast platform you use. Subscribe and review our show now to ensure other Texans can be informed.